for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 89th Psalm we hear, I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Dear Lord, we bring another week to a close and pray that we have made good use of our time here. Those things that we have done according to your will, please bless, O Lord. Watch over our going out and coming in, and bless those you have given us to love and who love us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Lawson, Wright-Jones.
A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 8th.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Yeah. You've heard the motion. As many as are the opinion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a very special guest today. This is an intern that's going to be working in my office on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If she would please stand up. She is a junior at the University of Missouri in Columbia, Rebecca Gloy, and she goes by the name of Becky, but she's doing a wonderful job still getting an A for the semester.
Delighted to welcome Becky, the intern for the Senator from Johnson, to the Missouri Senate. Introduction of guests. No one is going to claim the good-looking group in the upper gallery, I see, for introduction. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Send it forward.
There you go. I would request the reading of the resolution be waived.
The reading will be waived. It will be printed in the journal.
In the journal. Thank you.
Senator, do you care to explain?
Yes, I will.
Briefly, what the resolution is?
Absolutely. Basically, Mr. President, it authorizes the Missouri Girls State Program to use the Senate Chamber on June the 27th, 2012. They are an organization that helps to promote leadership and a citizen responsibility in our female youth.
Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Senator from Boone.
Unanimous consent for the introduction of some very special.
Hearing no
guests.
Objection, proceed. Let's all welcome, will the guests of the Senator from Boone please rise? Senator from 15th. Oh, wait, Senator. Senator, I thought you were finished.
I was indeed.
She didn't make that request. Senator,
yes.
The Secretary informs me that you might make a unanimous consent request to take
this
presumably uncontroversial resolution up now.
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent for the adoption of the resolution.
To suspend the rules. Does any senator object? Hearing no objection, that is how we shall proceed. Senator, make your motion.
Mr. President, I move for unanimous consent of the,
adoption.
To adoption of the resolution.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator renews her motion on adoption of the resolution allowing the use of the chamber. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Senator from the 15th.
Resolution.
Send it forward.
Mr. President, I would request the reading be waived to be printed in the journal.
Reading will be waived. It shall be printed in the journal.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is to allow the members of the Missouri Youth Leadership Forum for Students with Disabilities to use the chamber on July 24th, 2012. And would now request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended for the adoption of the resolution.
You've heard the unanimous consent request. Does anyone object? Hearing no objection, proceed to your motion, sir.
Mr. President, I move the resolution be adopted and also would like to notice the senator from the first birthday. The 24th, that's what I meant, is actually the senator from the first birthday along with the use of the chamber for this great.
Senator, I can't hear what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. I'm so tall, this microphone may be a little low.
Okay.
Let's just cut to the chase, Mr. President. I move the resolution be adopted.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
As many as are in the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. We are on that order of business. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Saline.
I have a concurrent resolution.
Send it forward.
I would request that, or suggest that the reading be waived and be printed in the journal.
Shall be printed in the journal. Senator.
Mr. President, this resolution confirms the deep relationship between the state of Israel and the state of Missouri.
Thank you, Senator. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Buchanan. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 686, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to the resale or lease of returned electronic devices or appliances.
Senator, introduction of bills. The senator from the second.
Of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 47, introduced by Senator Roop, a joint resolution relating to the prohibition of public aid for religious purposes and institutions.
Senator, would you like to describe the bill or any further explanation? Further introduction of bills? Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, for your indulgence. If I could get unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your right and my left, over here on the bench, we have a number of very distinguished guests, but one in particular that I'd like to introduce to the body. Today we want to recognize Dr. Benjamin Gazdile, Dr. Guzdal has been practicing dentist in the state of Missouri for 50 years, Mr. President, for 50 years. He attended the Park Holland Community College, Michigan State University, and later St. Louis University. He served in the United States Navy from 1951 to 1955. He began his career in 1961, Mr. President, the year I was born, at Cardinal Glennon Hospital, and was in private practice for over 38 years. Dr. Guzdal currently practices at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. He served his patients and our constituents well for 50 years, and I want the body to make him feel very, very welcome. Thank you, Mr. President.
Would the honored guests of the Center from the First please stand? Let's recognize him for 50 years of service to the state of Missouri and to the dental profession. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce the body, and I hope this is the only way that anybody has to be introduced to this particular gentleman today. He is our doctor of the day from back in my district. He happens to be the director of anesthesiology and pain medicine at St. John's Mercy Hospital in Washington. And the doctor of the day is John Moore, MD, right over to my right.
Let's welcome the physician of the day, the guest of the senator from Franklin. Thanks for coming, and thanks for your help. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request unanimous consent for introduction of special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and on your right, it's my pleasure to introduce to the body Dr. James Orr, who is with us today. He's celebrating 50 years as a license holder with the Missouri Dental Board. He's a proud veteran who served us in the United States Army Field Artillery as a lieutenant and Army Dental Corps as a captain. And he has been a volunteer for many community organizations in my community and in the state of Missouri. And I would ask my fellow members to please give him a warm welcome, and I have a resolution to present
to you. Dr. Orr, would you please stand? Let's recognize him for his service to our state, our country, and the dental profession. Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple introductions of special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and on your right, we have a former state representative that I had the honor and pleasure to serve with while I was in the people's body back in 2001 through 2004. Former Representative Randall Relford is here, and so I'd like the body to recognize him and welcome him this morning.
Would you please stand, Representative, and let's welcome him to the upper body today.
Also, proceed. Mr. President, the Missouri State Senate is honored today to welcome some very special guests and their families. We have with us today three dentists who have been licensed in the state of Missouri for 50 years. These dental providers have spent a lifetime serving the dental needs of their Missouri communities. And at a time when Missouri and most other states struggle with a dental manpower shortage and access to care issues, we feel it's important to recognize their lifetime dedication to the dental profession. We want to express our appreciation to them for taking care of the dental needs of their patients. We're proud of your many accomplishments and the wealth of knowledge and skills which you've garnered during the past five decades. And the Missouri State Senate congratulates you for your many successes. And I'm asking the body to please welcome Dr. Benjamin L. Guzdal from St. Louis, Missouri, Dr. James H. Orr from St. Charles, Missouri, and Dr. Wade R. Watts from St. Louis, Missouri. So if they'd please stand and allow us to honor them, I'd appreciate it.
Again, thank you for your service to our state, country, and the dental profession. Thank you so much. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Seeing no objections, reports of standing committees. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have committee reports from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. Copies have been distributed on the desk, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Send the committee report forward, please. Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the above reports in one motion.
Seeing no objection, it will be reported on or voted on in one motion.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointments and reappointments.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the motion to accept the gubernatorial appointments. Reports of standing committees.
The Senate is on the order of business of reports of standing committees. The senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward when it arrives at the dais. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business Insurance and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 464, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Senate, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection.
Seeing no objection, Senate bills for perfection. Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 443. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 443 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I now move that adoption of the Senate Committee substitute, and I have a Senate substitute.
Send the Senate substitute forward.
Mr. President, it has been distributed, and I move for the waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Senate substitute, and I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Mr. President, the amendment has been distributed, and I move for the waiver of the reading. This is the update. I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Senator, seeing there no objection, the reading will be waived on the amendment.
This is an update to the DWI and CDL laws in the state of Missouri. Because Missouri is out of compliance on the DWI, we allowed in our law that we passed 2 years ago, we allowed for hardships to be determined by the Department of Revenue. The federal government does not allow for that, and so we bring the state law back in compliance with federal regulations. As a result of our being out of compliance, they are withholding $16 million from highway construction fund, requiring that to be spent in the safety area. So this will allow us to get that back into the construction fund. On the second part of the bill, it has to do with CDL licenses. Again, we're out of compliance with the federal regs. If you fail to appear as a result fail to appear in court, and when you finally do, you do certain things, and the judge, if you follow the instructions, then that you can expunge the failure to appear. The federal law does not allow that to happen on commercial driver's license. So for CDLs, it removes that, and then. As a CDL driver, you're required to carry a medical card. The federal requirement now says that has to be electronically filed. And so if you happen to leave a card at home, they can go to the electronic file, see that you're legal and ready to go. As a result of these two things, we're losing, and this is loss. As of January 30, we are subject to losing $30 million this year and $60 million last year, or in future years, without these corrections. Now, the amendment, every time a federal bureaucrat reads the changes in the law, they have to put their justify their job, and we changed two little words with the amendment. It says right now it says in the United States, or the amendment says the 50 states. So, you know, there's two correct. The only difference between the Senate substitute and the committee substitute is the two or three technical things like this. They sent one more yesterday, so I would like to get this passed before another federal bureaucrat reads it and decides we need to change it again. But I'd be glad to answer any questions, Mr. President. If not, I move for the adoption of the amendment.
The senator has moved the approval of Amendment 1. Discussion. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
May I briefly inquire of the senator from Saline?
Senator from Saline, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator. I know that this, all of the changes within this, the Senate substitute, are part of some thing that you've gotten from MoDOT that's based on what the feds want to be in total compliance. On page 14, lines 12, it says vehicle by a state, Canada or Mexico. Is that because of NAFTA or what? Page 14, line 12, commercial vehicle. Any withdrawal of a person's privileges to drive a commercial vehicle by a state, which is current, and we're, it says Canada or Mexico. I just was curious, is that, was that in the federal requirements, and is it because of NAFTA or something? Okay. Okay. All right. I thought that might be because of NAFTA. But, you know, one of the reason I raise it is one of the problems with NAFTA was that in the trucking industry in particular and other, you know, things like that, not so much with Canada, but with Mexico, there was a problem of did they have the same training, did they have, you know, and trucks coming from there. So when I saw that, I kind of assumed that it was because of some NAFTA requirement or trade requirement. And if you're strengthening the requirement, that's fine. I just wanted to assure that's what we're doing. It's part of the whole system then. Okay. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the senator from Saline?
Senator, you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, just briefly, one question, and you explained it to the body, but you know, maybe unpack it a little bit more. As far as the changes that we made to our law, our state law, in relation to driving while intoxicated, did we make our state laws stricter than the federal laws?
No, our laws, let me see if I can get to the right explanation. Our law allowed...
For like a hardship
allowance? Allowed for hardship allowance, and it also allowed driving to drug court. The feds didn't like that, although we left the drug court part in this one. We pulled out the hardship. And it seemed to me like there was one other thing that there was, let's see. I think that's a major part of it. They allow for us to have a limited driving privilege to go to work, attend school, attend alcohol, and we put alcohol and drug together, which hopefully we'll get that by. Or go to for interlock service.
So it still allows us to do all those things?
It allows, yes, everything but the hardship. And that's kind of an undefined term. And
so they deemed that hardship was too vague and too broad?
Yeah.
Okay. And for us to make this change, it would allow us to continue to receive how much federal money?
Well, we would continue on this section. We would continue to receive the $16 million. It's just that we couldn't spend. It moves it from highway construction and repair to safety. This bill represents about $75 million total for construction, and a $600 million budget. That's a pretty good chunk.
Okay. All right. But you're still comfortable that we're not. By these changes that we're making, I mean, I think that the will and intent of the legislature was both to, on one hand, being tough on drunk drivers, on the other hand, we don't allow them, you know, to be able to get to work and get to school and the idea
and
of...
And drug and alcohol, allow, yeah, in, yeah.
I'm sorry?
At drug and alcohol court, right. Drive to get an interlock, those things. And we allowed all those things. We just had a hardship thing in there
And they just didn't like that.
They didn't like that. They thought it was, not specific enough.
Okay. All right. There was just get your opinion on this. There was an idea conveyed to me recently that some states are looking at giving a first-time offender of a DWI the ability to have the interlock, you know, so that they have to actually for their automobile to start, they'd have to blow into the mm-hmm. thing. And
right.
And
I think we do that on the second offense. I think we do that. We require it on the second offense. We don't do it on the first offense.
Okay. This was the idea of
under current law,
kind of an alternative sentencing type of an idea, so that you know, an individual still has the ability to go to work and support themselves and their family. But, you know, they'd have to pay for it and the whole thing. Have you heard anything about that type of concept?
It's not required on the first offense under state law now. We do require it on the second offense. I will tell you the other thing that's been skipping my mind. In our law, we allowed you to dodge. You could, if you went to alcohol court, then we allowed you to get away if you were taking a program, you could get away from doing time or community service. Under federal law, you have to do either community service or time. So we combine the alcohol court with alcohol program with the community service, and the community service is defined here. So I think this is, you know, it's not unreasonable. Just the only unreasonable part of this is every time a bureaucrat reads it, they want to change a word, and that's the part that's really it.
Okay. Thank you for your work on it, Senator.
You bet. Thanks.
Further discussion. Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Real briefly, you confused me a little bit with the numbers. The DWI fix is $16
million. $16 million that is taken from highway construction to safety. So it's not removed from the budget. It's just required for different purposes. We need all the construction money we can get at this point.
So we're taking it from safety and putting it in construction?
No, we're taking it from construction and putting it into safety. This will allow us to go back to the other directive.
And then the $60 million will be a new source of construction money?
No. If we don't do the CDL fixes, we will lose $60 million.
Okay, so we're...
In the second year, it's $30 million the first year, $60 million for every year after that.
Okay, so we're going to increase...
We're not going to increase. All we're doing is saving what we've got.
We're saving what we've got construction-wise, and we're reallocating from construction to safety for the DWI fix.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Lewis, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 21st.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
I have a question. Hopefully it's brief, but on the electronic medical certification, how is that done and how is the cost, and can you walk me through that?
if we don't get too deep.
Give me an overview.
My understanding is, right now, if you drive across state lines, you have to have a medical card. I've got a medical card, so I think what will happen is you'll go to the doc, get your exam. It will be forwarded to the Department of Revenue, and they will put it on the electronic CDL records.
So the doctor does that.
I think the doctor gives you the report, then you send it. That's it. Because they're getting to HIPAA stuff, so you have to send your records to the Department of Revenue.
Okay. Now
they upload it onto the CDL network.
Now, how do I get that to the department? I've got a card that I carry in my billfold, and I've got...
I think we might get a note here in a little while.
Okay.
But the note's up on high and getting it down may be a problem. May have an airplane flying.
As I look at it, and I have a little concern that they're issued for 2 years.
Actually, I think we do that to three years.
Is it three? Yeah. I know it's longer than one, but as I look
through... mine is always expired.
As I look through this, I see that there's one report needs to be done annually, and I looked at it, but I would like to visit with somebody else that knows a little bit more about it, but...
In all reality, what we're doing here is does nothing except put it on the electronic... It doesn't change the law you're required to do now. It just requires it to be uploaded electronically.
Okay, but my concern is, if mine's good for 3 years and I've had it a year, this law comes into effect, then within 10 days, it says, I have to have it electronically filed.
No, I think if you get into it, our Department of Revenue is not ready to do this yet. And I think it's off. I think it's 2013 before this. I mean, there's a phase-in period to this.
Okay. Well, I have some concerns about how it might affect some of our people in the state that, their card's not expired, they haven't gone in, they haven't worried about it, and we do have a lot of people in my area that do cross state lines, and. Because that's where the grain elevators are. That might be where the livestock are.
Here we go.
You got the answer.
I knew
you would.
When you renew your license, you give your medical card to the Department of Revenue.
Oh, you can do it at the license office.
No.
So you don't actually have to have a computer.
No.
To scan it. It
becomes part of your license. Is what it amounts to.
Okay.
And then I really believe that if you leave it at home. They can run it and
that would be good, but now we have to carry it on us like we do. But I appreciate it. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
You still seem a little... Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Howe, we have certain rules about not disturbing people when they're inquiring of each other. Proceed.
I don't know if he heard you. Senator, you still look confused after the discussion. Let me try to simplify this. Last year, when we passed the DWI bill, the Fed said that we didn't follow the rules, and $60 million would now have to be spent on safety. What the senator is doing is clarifying it in this language, so now that $16 million can go back and be spent on construction, what it was spent on prior to that.
Now I'm more confused, because that's not what he told me. He told me the money was leaving construction and going into safety.
And this clarifies that and straightens it out so it can go back into construction. Are you still confused?
Last year's bill was vetoed, right? Or did we pass it?
Right, it was vetoed.
It was vetoed.
Right.
And as a result, we stopped getting $16 million.
We still get the $16 million, but since we didn't pass the bill or it was vetoed, it had to be spent on safety.
Okay.
So what this does is it clarifies federal law and allows that money that was mandated to go to safety to continue to stay in construction.
To come back to construction.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Could I inquire the senator from Jefferson?
Senator from Jefferson, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator?
Is that the one with three congressional districts?
Not anymore.
For now? Not anymore.
Hey, Senator. Looks like the senator from Saline and I may have had a case last year.
Yes. You know, you just reminded me, Senator, of, as you were inquiring of the senator from the 4th, the idea that we passed a law last year that would make us compliant, I guess, with federal law.
Right.
And the way that we would spend the money that they send back to the state. Where's that money come from, by the way, that they send back to the state?
Well, it comes from us, and it also comes from other states.
Yeah, because we get a little bit more back than we send. Is that the idea?
Right.
Okay, so...
For years, we were a donor state.
Right.
Now we're a recipient state.
A recipient state. So we're getting back the 17.5 cents plus of the federal money.
Right, but it's more important to get the federal dollars back because that's MoDOT's money and can be spent on our infrastructure statewide. Our fuel tax, Missouri fuel tax, has to be divvied out to local communities and counties, cities.
But so when our constituents go to the pump, they pay a federal tax of 17.5 cents, I believe, and then a state tax. Of
19 and 17, I think. Is
the
what
19
it is.
And which one's 19?
Feds.
The federal tax is 19 now.
And ours has been at 17 for
17.5, isn't it?
20 years.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you're you and the senator from Saline are kind of the transportation experts. Well, there's this guy sitting in front of me that knows a little bit about it. I'm sorry. The senator from Cole are the experts, but I'm not inquiring of him right now. So
right.
But what did you do remind me of is the idea that once again, so that we can continue to have as much money possible come from the federal government back to the state, that we've got to, you know, get in lockstep, you know, and march to their tune, right?
Texting will be the next thing.
And the interesting thing about it, I mean, Senator from Saline made it very clear that it is bureaucrats that don't like the verbiage that we've got in our bill, that it's too broad, you know, and again, so that we're going to take up valuable legislative time, you know, with this bill to fix this so that we can spend that $16 million in highway construction rather than safety.
Where it
right?
needs to be.
Where it needs
right.
to be.
Right.
Where this body and the General Assembly should be making the decisions on how we spend the people's money. Okay? So I thank you.
I don't disagree, but...
I thank you for reminding me of that.
We're going to continue to
do
that.
Most likely, I'll probably be voting against this bill just because of that.
Okay.
Okay, so... Thank
That's
you.
Your right, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Quick question, Senator. Let's talk about the failure to appear in court and the impact on those with a commercial driver's license. Is that putting us in line with federal requirements there?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now, under state law, if you fail to appear, the judge may give you, either fine you or give you community service or something, and you can get that expunged from your license.
Mm-hmm.
The feds do not want anything expunged from a CDL license. They want your total history on there
so they can
develop a pattern.
Well, and what kind of impact will that have when it's time to renew that license? Will it stop it from being renewed, or will it be a consideration?
Well, if you have enough violations, you can't
certainly
be,
not.
Uh-huh. I mean, what they're trying to do is be sure that commercial drivers are qualified drivers.
Uh-huh.
There's been a real problem. Before we went to the CDL system, drivers would lose their license in Missouri and go to Kansas and get a license and continue to drive.
Okay, so
and it became a hide the pee under the wallet deal.
Okay.
And so we went to the CDL license, which is across all states.
Okay.
And then we have had additions, like, for instance, a couple of years ago, we changed it so that if you have a DWI in your teens, mm-hmm. when you become 21, that's expunged. Mm-hmm. On a CDL, it's no longer expunged.
Okay.
And this failure to appear is the same type of thing. Okay. They want to be sure that drivers are not hiding the pee under the pod okay. somewhere. And so that when they look up your license, they know you're
it's all there.
Driver.
It's
that's
nationwide.
The reason Canada and Mexico were added in there, so that you couldn't violate the law someplace else and not show up on your license.
So Canada and Mexico are tracking this as well. So
all I'm saying is violation.
If we
a U.S. driver that violates the law in Mexico or Canada shows up on his U.S. license.
Oh, okay. All right. I see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close on the amendment.
Senator from Saline moves the adoption of Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Amendment Number 1. Senator from Saline.
We're back on the Senate substitute.
We are on the Senate substitute. Is there any discussion on the Senate substitute? Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You know that I'm going to ask you about a specific item on page 18 of the Senate sub,
right.
And it has to do with medical examiner, and it defines medical examiner to include a laundry list, but then it says it's not limited to, and it says that a medical examiner would include anyone who is licensed to perform physical examinations. Well, I apologize for just having seen this a little while ago, but it has to do with, you know, my profession, and so that's why I'm interested. And it would include nurse anesthetists, it would include dentists, it would include LPNs. A lot of people can do physical exams. And so I guess what I want to know is, does the federal law require that we adopt this exact language? Or could we eliminate the words, but is not limited to, and still be in compliance with the federal law?
Senator, I'll tell you what. I can't guarantee you that it would kick it out, but the risk of doing it to me is, you're going to have to go to somebody that can give physical examinations. And for instance, probably 15 or 20 years ago, we wouldn't have put advanced practical nurses on there.
Well, I just want to tell you that I've done CDLs for many years since I've been in practice, and they're very important. I mean, you've got a guy driving a big rig down the highway. If he has a hypoglycemic event, he can kill a lot of people. And it's very important that the CDL be done by a trained person to identify medical problems that will prevent catastrophes. That's the whole point of it. So you want to have a definition of medical examiner that includes people who are highly trained and able to identify these problems. Like, for example, an LPN might not know what to exactly put with regard to a seizure disorder, somebody who has seizures or whoever had one, and ask the appropriate questions. Talk about diabetes, listen to their heart and detect subtle heart murmurs that could betray a problem that could cause loss of consciousness. And this is a big deal. And so I think that if we don't know whether or not that the federal law would require those words but is not limited to, it's worth thinking about and taking a few minutes to find out.
Senator, you don't do anything with the federal government for a few minutes.
I know. That's true.
And
I don't want to put your bill at risk.
Those exams are very specific. I do not think that you're going to have somebody set. I mean, I'm not going to be able to set up shop on the corner and give physical.
No, let me tell you what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the state of Missouri coming behind and adopting rules and regulations that when they define the CDL form and they allow for a certain number of people to sign it, these other groups, you know, lesser trained professionals, their groups are constantly looking to expand their areas of practice. I've dealt with this for 28 years as a physician. And they might say, well, we need to be included in that list of people who can do CDLs. And I'd rather lock it down. I'm perfectly okay saying that the doctor of medicine, doctor of osteopathy, physician assistants, advanced nurse, practice nurses, doctors of chiropractic, I think they all probably can adequately do the job, but there are, it's the but not limited to that do physical exams. Because I'm telling you, if there's a little old lady lying in the nursing home, that LPN or even the nurse's aide has to go in and examine them from time to time and do some physical exam. I don't want them to say that LPNs can be doing CDLs. They're not adequately trained. And so if it's at all possible to just eliminate those words, but is not limited to right here, right now, I'd like to do it.
Senator, you're perfectly free to offer an amendment. I'm going to oppose it, but we've got $60 million in the balance here on
and I don't want to jeopardize that. But I will tell you that there's a long way ahead in the process, and
I think that these exams are very specific and require this level of professional and expertise, and it doesn't concern me as much as it does you. If the body changes it, the body changes it. But I'm going to oppose it.
If $16 million is in the balance, I understand, and later in the process that information can come to light.
We have a January 30th deadline.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that we can deal with that. If we could maybe put this off till tomorrow and find out today, I mean, you know.
Senator, every day I get one of these silly little amendments. I want to get it off the table.
Well, I think that our job here is to do what's right for the state.
Senator, if you want to offer amendment, offer amendment. I have a problem with it.
Thank you, Senator.
But I will oppose it.
Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
I have an amendment. I'd ask that it be read. It has not been distributed.
Send the amendment forward. And Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Schaaf to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 443, page 18, section 302.700, line 12, by striking, quote, but is not limited to, close quote, from such line.
Senator, would you care to explain the amendment?
I've already pretty much explained it in my inquiry with the senator from Saline, but I would like to inquire of the senator from Phelps for just a moment.
The senator does move the adoption of Amendment Number 2. Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, do you do physical exams?
On dogs.
You
cats,
do.
Horses.
Does the bill doesn't say on humans, does it?
No.
It's sort of implied. I mean, of course it's implied. But being a medical professional, probably can identify with some of the things that I'm saying, and I'd like to get your opinion on the seriousness of what I'm describing here.
Well, I think you bring up a very good point, and you know, I'm hoping that the language is as the senator from Saline has said, is what the federal is looking for, but. You know, it's always a discussion in veterinary medicine and human medicine and other areas that we have the adequate degree of supervision for people with lesser degrees and what they may and may not do. And so, you know, hopefully your amendment does not do anything too detrimental to the bill, but I can appreciate your concern.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President, just to speak on my amendment for a
moment. Proceed.
Mr. President, while this is a small change, I think it's an important one. the people who are licensed to perform physical examinations includes many more people than those who would have the expertise needed to identify and deny a CDL to people who might have a high probability or a higher than acceptable probability of having a medical problem that might cause them to have a very severe accident that could hurt a lot of people and do a lot of damage. And I think that the federal government would want us to be creating a law that would allow a medical examiner who was competent to do the job. I don't think that the federal law would care if we were more exclusive. I think that they would only care if we were more inclusive. I just can't believe that making this change would put in jeopardy the $16 million. But if that were the case, we still have time in this legislative process to identify that and fix it. I just don't think that that's the case. And so I would urge the body to adopt my amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator from Saline.
Speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I understand the concerns of my colleague. I do not believe that we ought to be. When I've gotten as many amendments that I have that talk about two little words, I'm concerned that we will delay this. And if we continue to show progress, I think that the feds will leave us alone. If we stall it in the legislative process, I think we're jeopardizing $60 million, which is 10% of our construction budget for the state of Missouri. I urge my colleagues to vote no.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close. The Senator moves the adoption of Amendment Number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. You have failed Amendment Number 2. Further discussion on the Senate substitute. Senator from Stoddard, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the sponsor of the bill.
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. I won't take long, Senator. I know there was one provision in this bill that I had a question with. I don't know if it's the right thing to do or not, but I noticed the, what is it, the hard suspension? Is that what you call that?
The what?
A hard walk. In other words,
the hard walk, yes.
Yeah, after somebody, say a person who has their first DWI, they're suspended for 30 days, and then for the next 60 days they can get a hardship license, and so now it will be extended from 30 to 45. Is that
only
correct?
On revocation. If you're suspended, you still have the 30-day suspension, but if it's a revocation, which probably is your third offense, then it's 45.
Okay.
So it just changes that length and separates the difference between revocation and suspension.
Okay, so in other words, somebody who got their first DWI, they would still be looking at a 30-day, what's termed hard walk.
Yes.
In other words, they couldn't get a hardship or any type of exception so that they could drive. Is that right?
Right.
And so it'd stay the same. 30 days, hard walk or suspension, not allowing any kind of driving, and then 60 days they could get a limited driving privilege license, which would allow them to drive to work or to school or go to the doctors.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator moves the adoption of the Senate substitute. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from Saline.
Now move that Senate Bill, whatever we're working on.
433,
be declared perfected and ordered printed.
I'm sorry, is Senate Bill 443?
Senate 443. Bill 443, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Saline renews his motion that Senate Bill 443 be declared perfected and order printed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and order printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the House?
There are messages from
would
the House.
Please have those read.
Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 43, a joint resolution relating to the Common Sense Obligation to Provide Accountability and Spending Stabilization Act, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Those are all the messages from the House. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Announcements. Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January 23rd, 2012.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January 23rd. Have a safe trip home.